Take your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14, if you will. Joshua chapter 14. And we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 14. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 through 14. You can follow along as I read. I'm going to let you remain seated for tonight. Or you can look up on the screen and follow there as well. Starting in verse 6 and going down through verse 14, the Bible says, "And then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old when I was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thine children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Give us a truth that would be helpful, Lord. I thank you for each person here tonight. Lord, I thank you for what you've been doing here this year and this summer. And I pray you'll continue to bless in so many ways. But Father, for tonight, as we gather around your word, would you give us a truth that would help us personally? Would you challenge us as individuals, as your children? Would you give us exactly what we need? Lord, I'm not able to do that, but the Holy Spirit of God is. And whenever your word is preached, you have the ability to speak of it or any other subject to your children, because you indwell us, Holy Spirit. So we yield ourselves to you and ask that you will speak to us and give each heart direction and instruction. And I pray this tonight, Lord, in your most precious name. Amen. I want to speak on the subject tonight of keep the vision strong. Keep the vision strong. I think many times I've spoken on the need of a vision. I know of the first sermon I ever preached in the very first day of Grandview Baptist Church was the need for a vision. I think every year since that, at least on the first or second Sunday of the year, I've preached on my vision for that year, as I have the beginning of this year. And I've done that for a long time. Often throughout the years, I've had times where one particular year I would preach maybe 2 or 3 or 4 times on the subject of vision. I really believe that all of us need a vision from God for our lives. I know that God wants to do through each and every one of us far more than we ever realize. A great God wants to do great things. He does not have to have great people to do great things. He just has to have someone who's available, and he brings the greatness with him. And so God has that capacity to do great and mighty things through every one of our lives, through the least of us. Whoever you might be or whatever you might think of yourself, God thinks more of you than you think of yourself. God wants to do more through you than you believe God would want to work through you. God can use each and every one of us in a very, very special way. Now, Caleb is a prime example of someone who learned to keep the vision strong in his life. The Bible tells us in this passage how at the age of 40, he was one of those spies who went into the promised land at Kadesh Barnea when the children of Israel stopped there to get a word from the spies. They went out 40 days going throughout the land of Canaan, spying it out. Their instructions was very specific. Go into the land of Canaan and figure out which way we should go in. The instructions were not go throughout the land and come back with all the negative reports you can come up with. But that's exactly what 10 out of the 12 chose to do. Now, let me just say this. If you're looking for excuses to fail, there's plenty of them. You don't need to hire anyone to give you excuses why things can't be accomplished. You can come up with all those ideas all by yourself. In the early days, when our staff was very small and we were talking and having leadership meetings, and sometimes we'd say, well, we want to do this, and someone would say, well, I'm not sure we could do that. And I said, well, I appreciate that opinion, but I'm just saying that we can, because my Bible says that if we can think it in our heart, we can achieve it. And so that's true. And on a few occasions, I've had to say I've never hired anyone to give me all the reasons why we can't get it done. I could come up with all of those all by myself. We have to come up with reasons it can work. We may have to hire different people. We may have to throw some money at it. We may have to have planning sessions. I mean, we may have to work, but it can be done. And that's true in your life as well. God has great plans. It may be you need some more education. It may be you've got to have a little training. It may be you've got to save a little money to get from here to there. It may be that it won't be easy. But if it's God's plan for your life, it's the best plan. And you might as well do it and enjoy doing it versus do something that's easy and not enjoy it because you're outside of God's will for your life. So often I've reminded us as a church, we ought to be a people of vision. A people of vision. One of the things that was stated in the last few weeks is people have said they always appreciate our church having special outreaches and reaching out throughout the community throughout the year. And I just say, well, I appreciate your comment, but shouldn't every church do that? Shouldn't that just be the normal? It shouldn't be abnormal for a church to try to reach its area for the cause of Christ. We ought to have special days. We ought to have special things. And we ought to work at that and prepare it and plan it and give it effort and see God reap a harvest. But you got to have a vision. I didn't get into the ministry to get a job. I had a job before God called me into the ministry. I could have done that. And the same is true in your life. You need a vision not because you are not somewhere already. It's just that God has a bright plan for your life. God has a way for you to touch lives that you've never dreamed of. And in the meantime, He'll bless you in ways you never imagined. God has a way of doing both of those at the very same time. So I want to say a few things about this. Be strong and have your vision strong. First of all, you need to start with a vision. Jeremiah was an unusual prophet. He was given a task, and God had told him, by the way, let me just warn you, nobody's going to listen. You're going to be a preacher, and you're going to be a pre-exile preacher. So before the children of Israel go into Babylon, you're going to be going around preaching how they need to repent and they need to turn to God or else. But let me just warn you, nobody's going to listen. But I want you to preach it anyway. And he did. And because of that, they threw him in a horrible pit full of slime up to his armpits almost. They lowered him down in a rope, and it took 30 men to pull him out because of the suction of the slime holding him. And so they had to throw old clothes and wrap it around his armpits so they wouldn't pull his arms off. As 30 men pulled him out of that muck. You ever stepped in muck and say, where's my shoe? Yeah, if you've ever been around it, it's so easy. You got to be very careful. You pull your foot out too fast, and you're there with your sock and your boots down in the mud somewhere below the surface. That was exactly. And then he said, I said, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to speak of his name. I'm not going to do that. And then it says there was that fire in his bones. And he said, I could not stop. I had to go preach some more. You see, he had a vision, but he had a vision early. Because the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go into all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So God spoke to Jeremiah and said, I chose you when you were in the womb. Before you were ever born, I chose you. May I say, God's got a plan for your life. He's not trying to figure it out. I know sometimes as a teenager, I was trying to figure it out. I didn't know what God wanted me to do. I thought it might be this, might be that, might be this. I didn't know. But I had all the confidence in the world that God knew. And I also believed in his good timing, he'd let me know. And praise God that he did. You see, God spoke to him at a very young age. And may I say that's also a good reason to put your children in the nursery. Develop a pattern of getting them in church. I love to hear sometimes on a Sunday morning, they'll come and say, Pastor, we're getting real tight in the nursery and we're getting too many babies. No, that's not a problem. That's good news. That's what you want. You want those babies in the nursery. Many years ago, as a young pastor, I always read books about how to grow a church, how to reach more, how to win more, how to do more for the cause of Christ. And I was reading the story of the pastor in Dallas, Texas, who had at that time the largest church in America, had 20,000 members at that time. And he wrote a book about his life and his ministry. He said, when I went to the church, we had one nursery. He said, when I retired, he preached there 50 years. He said, when I retired, we had 22. He said, because I realized for every baby, there's usually two others that come with it. They never get there by themselves. Some parents have to bring them. So they put the focus on building nurseries. He said, I felt like if I could have the best nurseries in town, that I might be able to grow a church. Of course, he did become one of the greatest expository preachers of all time, and he never used a note in 50 years. That's how good his memory is. By the way, your pastor's memory is not that good, so I'm not like that. But Jeremiah, he was used as a young person, and he was called of God. He started out with a vision. The Bible tells us about Joseph. Genesis 37 and verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He was 17 years of age, a teenager. And God gave him a dream. Little did he know it'd be 13 years later when those dreams would start being fulfilled. But God gave him the dream as a young man. The Bible says about John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. You remember what Elizabeth said? When Mary, who had just realized that God was going to impregnate her with the Lord Jesus Christ, and she would be the mother of the Messiah. And so she leaves her homes and goes stays with her Aunt Mary. Now, think about it. She's maybe a week with child. And she comes in the room, and John the Baptist starts jumping up and down in Elizabeth's womb, and he's 6 months old. Full of the Holy Ghost. And Elizabeth says, my child started rejoicing when the mother of my God showed up. Wow. Now, I don't think I was filled of the Holy Ghost as a baby, but John the Baptist was. He had a vision at a young age. Never discount young children that have a life and say they want to serve God. That might not be a whim. That may be a vision that God has for their life. I'd love to see little boys dressed up, and I'll look at them and say, you look like a preacher. I might be someday. We ought to encourage all of our children to serve God in some capacity. They don't have to be in full-time Christian service, but they ought to be serving God somewhere, letting God use their life. John the Baptist, as that young man, we challenge our children. We ought to challenge our young children, our babes, and talk to them and pray with them and encourage them. And I'm so thrilled to have so many families in our church that on Sunday morning they bring their children by and they all say, hi, Pastor. I went by to see how the playground was going this afternoon several times, and all the kids run to the fence and, hi, Pastor, hi, Pastor. I can't help but go up and talk with them and see how they're doing. And it's just a blessing to be around here during the day and have so many children just going around so well behaved. And now I say that because I don't babysit them, but some of you workers might not agree with that, but they seem so well behaved to me all the time. Have a vision when you're young. Secondly, I want to say, keep the vision strong. You know, every vision starts out exciting, but then it's just work. But be excited about it. Be excited about what God's called you to do. A lot of people get a new job and they're excited about it. Man, I got a good job. They pay me better. They have benefits. It's close to home. Wow. And then a year later, it's like, yeah, it's okay. It's God's plan to feed your family. Be excited about it. God wants to use you there. God's got plans for all of our lives. Now, Caleb was 40 years old when he was chosen to go look into the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. But in Joshua chapter 14, verse 7, he said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. What was the word that he said? Well, it records it in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now he says that right before the other reports. And their report was, "We are not able to overcome it." But that wasn't Caleb's opinion. Because Caleb was looking through the glasses of God's ability instead of his. Why do we think we can't do things? Why do sometimes we say, "I couldn't teach that class. I couldn't sing. I couldn't do that." We're looking through the glass of our own ability instead of the glasses of God's ability. Don't see what you can do. See what God could do through you. That's the wonderful thing about the Christian life. It is not based on what you or I can do. It's based on what God can do through us. And all we need to do is be available and be obedient and follow His will. And God will do great and mighty things through our lives. What a blessing it is to know that God could use us to touch other lives. God could use us to do great things for the cause of Christ. Joseph was 30 years old when he came out of the prison and stood before Pharaoh. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 41, verse 46, "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt." What's interesting is he kept the vision strong through 13 years of being a slave and a prisoner. A slave and a prisoner. Sold into slavery by his own brothers. Lied about by Potiphar's wife. Thrown into prison. Then forgotten after he helped the butler get back his position. You know, it's not hard to have a vision, but it takes a little effort to keep a vision and keep it strong. And Joseph kept his vision strong when nothing in his life look like any of it would be fulfilled. You ever have God direct you in a way, and after He directs you, it seems like every door is shutting? And you think, "Well, maybe I didn't hear that right." No. Realize that for everything God has for you to do, there's an adversary that wants you not to do it. Don't be surprised if doors shut around you. But do remember that God promised that He would set before His Christians an open door that no man would be able to shut. And sometimes it's just a way of God maneuvering us into His perfect will. Be faithful, be full of vision, and just trust Him and follow the fact that God is on your side. And whatever adversities you've had to endure, like Joseph, God has a plan. God has a reason. And when it's all said and done, you're going to be in full agreement with what God's done, because you see that His way is always best. So we see that Joseph kept the vision strong. The Apostle Paul was a middle-aged man with a vision for God. When God saved him on the road to Damascus, you recall, God said, "I'm going to set you before kings, you're going to witness in my name, and you're going to endure many things for me and for my sake. And he did. But even as Paul the agent, he still had a passion for God. And he served God faithfully all these years. Let me just give a quick word for those of you who are in your middle age crisis right now. And you say, what's that? Well, if you have to ask, you're not there yet. But you reach that age where you think you should have accomplished more. You should have been more. You should have had more. You should see more success. And you get into that middle age crisis where all of a sudden you're dissatisfied with life. And it's not life. It's just your life you're dissatisfied with. Let me give you some advice when you get there. Have a vision of staying true to your God. Amen. Just stay true to God. Well, it doesn't look like God's making things work out. It doesn't look like God's helping him. Just stay true to God. Just stay true. It's going to be fine. Secondly, have a vision of staying true to your mate. Amen. Stay true to your mate. You say, well, you know, She's not Cinderella anymore. Yeah, I know you're not Prince Charming either. You've fallen off your horse too. Just stay true. Stay true to your mate. And the devil wants to tear our homes apart. Don't let that happen. You stick it out. You say, oh, we're happy. I know it's your first year. But wait a minute. Keep there. Keep going. You're going to have trials. You married very long. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have times where you don't see eye to eye and you're not on the same page. But let me say this. It's always worth it. And if you'll just stick through the rough times, it gets sweet again. And you'll enjoy what God has for you. And so when you get to that, when you start getting that middle age crisis and start thinking things, you stay true to God, you stay true to your mate, and you have a vision of steadily fulfilling God's vision for your life. Fulfill God's will for your life. It might get hard. It might get unpleasant. You may have to do it alone. But just stay there and serve God and let God use your life. I said, first of all, have a vision in your young age and then have a strong vision for God as you get older. And finally, I want to talk about having a vision in your old age. I'm almost getting there. I look in the mirror and I think I'm almost getting older. And my wife says, honey, that's not your perception, that's your vision. You need your glasses back on. Oh, okay. Yes, we get older, but keep a strong vision in your old age. I want to go out with a vision. I want to go out trying to serve God more, trying to do more for the cause of Christ, trying to see more happen for the cause of Christ. More and more I've talked with our staff in these last several years, I've talked about the fact that I'm not going to retire just one day. I'm not retiring, but I don't want to not be senior pastor one day just to watch the demise of our church. No, sir. Man. It's going to keep on going strong. And let me say to the church, you got a good staff. Man. We are blessed here at Grandview Baptist Church. We have a bright future. Noah was 500 years when he started working on that boat. 500 years old. I get sore muscles at my age. What do you do at 500? Abraham was 75 years of age when he headed off to go to a land that God would show him, not knowing where he was going. The Bible tells us he just followed God on a daily basis. God said, go this way, go this way. He was a sojourner all of his life. looking to fulfill God's promise. Moses was 80 and Aaron was 83 years of age when God said, go stand before Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth, and say, let my people go. And he did. He had a vision for God. He'd been watching sheep for 40 years on the backside of the desert. And now he's standing before Pharaoh and the most powerful man in the Old Testament, Moses. God used him. God used Aaron. 80 and 83. Don't think because you're up in years that God can't use you. And Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. Their vision was for the children of Israel to come out of Egyptian bondage. And that vision was used of God, directed by God. And God used them in a most amazing way. Many years ago, during the summer, we would open up our parking lot for the community to come and have a garage sale, community garage sale. We never charged anything, but just tried to make a safe place where people could bring their stuff, make a little money, pass off their junk to somebody else. I'd always go by and buy all the stuff off Miss Vicky's table that she got out of my stuff. And buy it all back. We've been doing that for all these years. I can go to Goodwill and say, I used to have something like that. And buy it again. But we used to do all that. One day I was walking around. I always like to walk around, talk to everybody. I'd walk around and I met an older gentleman. And he said, here, you might like this book. And he gave me a Christian book. And I looked at it. I said, that's a great author. That's a very good book. He said, yeah, I know. And I looked. I said, you got other books to sell here. I said, where do you get all these commentaries? Where do you get all these books on the Bible? He said, well, I pastored for 40 years. Really? He said, yes. He said, but when you're 80 years of age, nobody wants you anymore. His brother, Burl Yeats. And I said, Burl, if God ever leads you here, we'll use you. About 3 months later, he came to church and just kept on coming. And he started working in the church, visiting the hospitals. Then he taught the auditorium class for many years. At age 92, he said, Pastor, I'm going to have to step down from teaching because I'm just getting a little forgetful and it's so much harder for me to study. But from age 80 to 92, he kept on working, went home to the Lord at 96. But he continued to visit until he was 95, going to the hospital. If you've ever had Brother Vestal visit you in the hospital, he learned about how to visit, what to say, what to do by Burl Yeats. What a godly man he was. What a blessing it was. Many times I'd bring him in his 90s, and I'd have him sit and talk to all of us as staff, and he'd talk about how to do a wedding, how to do a funeral, how to do this, how to do that. I said, fellas, we're listening to wisdom here. We ought to bend our ear and record this. This is good stuff. What I'm saying is Moses was well up in years. Aaron was well up in years, but they're still being used of God. Don't think because you're up in years, God can't use you in a very significant way, because he will. Caleb was 85. He reminds us in this passage that he still had a vision for God. Interesting, Caleb was of the tribe of Judah. Now in verse 12 of the chapter we read, it says, "Now therefore give me this mountain." What was that mountain? It was the mountain of the Anakims. The Anakims was the dwelling place of the giants that scared the 10 spies from giving a good report. They said, "There's giants in the land." Well, they dwelt on the mountains of the Anakims. That parcel of land that they lived on would later be called Hebron. Hebron. Hebron would be the land that King David ruled for the first 7 years of his 40-year ministry as king over all of Israel. So he served God for 7 years in Hebron, and then for the remainder of the 40 years, he was king over all of Israel. David would be the lineage of which our Savior would be born. Hebron would be in the area where our Savior would be born. Bethlehem. You see, when Caleb said, "Give me this mountain," little did he know he was getting the place where the Messiah would make his entrance into the world. Was it difficult? Well, there were mountains, there were giants up there. It never says a word about the difficulty. The scripture simply says, "So the land of Hebron became Caleb's because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." God may give you a vision that you don't see in your lifetime. That was Abraham. That was Moses. Remember, he said, "Lord, couldn't I just go step foot in the promised land? Couldn't I just go over there?" He said, "No, I'll put you on Mount Pisgah. You can look at it. But no, you can't go over it." But you know, later in the New Testament, on the Mount of Transfiguration, there's Moses and Elijah. And he's on Mount Transfiguration in the land of Canaan. I think God finally granted his wish and let him step foot in the promised land. When God gives you a vision, it might not be for you. It might be for all the lives you would one day touch. I don't know and don't believe that Caleb had any idea how significant it was when he said, "Give me this mountain. Give me this hard spot that everyone's afraid of. Give me this mountain." Little did he know that his request would bless the world through the entrance of Jesus, born in Bethlehem, babe, Messiah born for all of our salvation. He didn't know that, but he had a vision in his old age. And so I hope all of us have a vision. We need to be a church full of vision. I hope to be a pastor with vision, but it's not enough. You've got to be a people with vision. You've got to see what God wants for your life, what God can do through your life. And you've got to trust Him that if He puts it on your heart, He can bring it to pass. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Think about your life. You might think of yourself as common and ordinary, but no Christian is who has Jesus dwelling within them. You're not common. You're not ordinary. God can do so much with your life. You could help so many people. You could be such a great blessing if you just yield your heart to Christ and say, Lord, give me the vision you want. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts as only you can. Lord, I hope you always keep a strong vision in my heart. I'm nothing special, but you're all important. And Lord, you give visions not for man's glory, but for your glory. You guide and direct our lives not for us to have accomplishments, but for us to see accomplishments for Christ. And Lord, let that always be our motivation, not for ourselves, but for you and your glory. Lord, would you give these thy people a vision of what you'd have done in their lives and what you'd have them do? Lord, I pray you'd speak to us even during this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let God speak to your heart. If there's something you want to pray about, something you have on your heart, you can come and have a word of prayer and ask God to do something in your life. Let God speak to your heart, direct your life. God bless you. So good to have each one of you here with us this evening. Remember, this Sunday, we are starting in chapter 12 of Romans on Sunday morning, and we will continue in Hebrews chapter 11 on Sunday night as we go through the Hall of Faith, and that's an exciting passage. If any of you have any afternoon time, Brother Hoxie, or in the morning or afternoon, Brother Hoxie is still coordinating efforts on putting together the playground. And so I hope that you'll come by. I was so thrilled. I was asking for 5 men to help unload things. And it turns out we had about 12 to 15 guys out there. And so it was almost like fighting to grab something. You know, there were too many. But that's a good problem. Too many workers. Anyway, we love you and thank God for you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we dismiss. Lord, you're a good God. We sure love you. Thank you for your many, many blessings. I pray that you'll go with us and bring us back safely again this Sunday. And all that needs to be done, Lord, let it be for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.